Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to our July 17, 2023 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. So this afternoon we are coming back together as kind of a continuation after our last special meeting where Todd was so nice to show us a variety of different simulations. Now that we know what the state funding looks like, is going to look like, and just gave us a lot of different things to think about. And so with regard to what our plans, what our future plans are with a levy request. So having said that, I guess I would just open it up. I really would like to hear from everybody tonight, kind of what their thoughts have been over the past 10 days, I guess. And I guess also, if you have any more, I should have asked you before, I don't know if you have any other updates to share with the board.
No, nothing's
okay.
Really changed.
Diane, any updates from your standpoint? Okay. Who wants to get us started? You want, sure, go for it.
Yeah, I know we discussed going with different scenarios, and one of which was no levy whatsoever and at this point in time, and I think that may be the most sensible thing. It sure is the hardest thing to wrap my head around, because I feel like the teachers aren't going to think that we're supporting them. On the other hand, if we just run a levy and knowing that it's going to fail, the waste of money at that point in time is tremendous. So I'm not sure. I guess I'm leaning toward the no levy at this time, but you know, if we did run one, I'd be leaning toward a earned income tax, because that would grow with the community. And right now, it doesn't seem to be that the property tax is doing that, even though businesses pick up a tremendous portion of that. And individuals will end up picking up the tab with the earned income. There just doesn't seem to be the support there for the property tax at this point in time, at least from the number of phone calls I've received even this week. So,
okay.
Okay, I'll go next. So just a couple clarifying points. So the state budget was signed on July 4th, and they went with the House amount of funding, which is a net increase of about $3 million for Marysville schools. So technically, that's kind of like we passed a $3 mil levy. So it gives us a little bit of breathing room, and we do have cash on hand, which we like to keep cash on hand because of the nature of school funding, which is very up and down. And I think that has given us a little bit of room to breathe. I have spent a lot of time making phone calls and talking to people since I got back from vacation. And to be honest, the appetite for any type of levy does not appear good, even with people that I would consider strong supporters of the school. Now, in my conversations, I didn't hear anyone speaking negatively about the schools or the job that the schools are doing. I just don't think we could put a successful levy on the ballot in November in the current situation. Things that were cited to me are what's been happening with people's retirement funds moving basically down because of the economic situation, utility price spikes, the increase of the property taxes based on the biannual reevaluation of property. I think even though that was discussed long before it happened, I think a lot of people were very surprised by the tax increase and the fact that it's not necessarily for most homeowners just a tax increase, but increase then in their insurance, and mixing that with increases in cost of the grocery store and that type of thing. I'm much more leaning towards not putting something on the ballot in November, because we have a lot of work to do explaining the school finance story to the community. The good news is, with all the various things and discussions happening in the community, I think a lot more people are listening. Maybe not as many as we need to. So, you know, we as a team need to find a way to communicate with large groups of people. So I think that communication is very difficult, and it's very easy to get caught up in kind of your own sphere of people and not hear everyone's perspective. So we've been doing, I think, a lot of listening lately, and based on those discussions, I'm concerned that no matter what we would put on the ballot in November, the community would not support it, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you. Want to go next?
This is, every once in a while we get a tough decision. Mm-hmm. And this is a battle between my heart and my head. Mm-hmm. I want the best interest of kids, and the best interest of kids would be to pass some sort of a levy and have the funds to be able to operate our school systems at the level we have been able to operate it in the past. But it's not always possible to get what you would like. My dad told me more times than once, when I asked him for something, that my wants shouldn't hurt me. And but this one, I would disagree with him respectfully, because this one hurts. But I think that we have some challenges that we need time to work on. We have people that believe that the stadiums that we constructed used operating funds. Those were entirely paid for. I think Todd, everything was paid for out of the permanent improvement funds. And for those that may listen, there are two specific tax levies that pay into the permanent improvement funds. And those two tax issues cannot be used for anything else. So it's not when we build those facilities or when we do repairs or we buy buses, that does not take away from school operation funds. Those are school operations, gets money from completely separate levies. And, when that is on the minds of some people, it's published as a fact in the media, and that's a problem for mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. Understanding how the school budget works, how our funding is spent, and so forth. I would tell people that the operating levy that we're discussing, and the one that we put, was about 90% of that money would have gone to teachers and salaries and benefits. We have other issues where people believe that when property values of their homes go up, that the schools get more money. And that's, we get a little bit, but we don't benefit from the full growth of the values. There are questions in the minds of people about whether people that rent pay property tax. And although they don't pay that directly, indirectly through their rent, the landlord, the owner, the person operating the business of renting, certainly pays the property taxes and passes that on to the on to the renters. And there are people that believe that they no longer have children at school, and so they no longer have any responsibility. And the financials don't support that. There's, I don't know, at one time we were getting about $1,000 from the average house, maybe $1,100 from the average house in Marysville, and I'm certain that that has changed. I don't know what it would be now, but the property taxes that we receive for a residence that may have one, two, or three children does not come close to covering the cost of the education of the children that live in that building. I know I figured up just for me that it was going to take some 75 or 80 years for me to have paid in taxes what the school system paid to educate my two children as they went through school. So being in education, I've said many times, we have a responsibility to try to educate. And based on what I have heard, you know, there are those areas where I think we've got a lot of work to do, and between now and November, there would not be sufficient time to try to get everybody to understand. Additionally, the property tax failed. If we were to offer an income tax, people that supported the property tax, there are a number of them. I've had conversations with a couple that said, you put an income tax on the ballot, you get a no vote from me. So while we may gain some that oppose the property tax, on the other side there are those that say, you know, I would never support an income tax. Property tax is the only thing I would ever vote for. So, and that, based on the information we gathered, is probably a wash one way or the other. So I don't know where we gained in terms of yes voters. I don't know that there's going to be a significant shift in a positive direction just because we offer a different kind of tax issue at this point. I think that has to go back to the educational component that we need to put together. So while my heart says that the right thing to do is to put an issue on the ballot, get the support from the community, and do right by kids, my head tells me that the people that we need are not yet fully understanding of the issues, our financial issues, and what we need. And I would add, you know, one point we've talked a little bit about Saturday or Sunday afternoon. You and I were talking about this a little bit with some people. The state funding mechanism has changed, and that funding mechanism is designed to be a partnership between the state and the local community. And there is a local share of dollars that has to be raised. The state will never fully fund the public schools. And that component, the local component, component is based on property tax and income tax for the entire school district, the total value of our property, the total value of our earned income. And so the factor that goes in there as property values, as incomes go up, is going to push the local community share up and the state share down. That's the way it's organized. That's the way it's going to be calculated. And that, from my seat, is not going to change. And so if there are people that are thinking that there's going to be something that happens in state government that's going to resolve the responsibility on the local community, the local citizens to educate their children, that's not going to happen. So, as I said, all my head tells me that November is not a good time.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ferguson.
Looks like there's a decision already made. Your vote saying no.
Well, we'd like to hear your perspective, because I think that our minds are open. We really want to have a discussion.
Right.
I mean, I think we have an issue with the city that we have to try and come to some consensus with. Mm-hmm. The whole EDIP TIF situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, Sue and Bill, have been working along with Diane and Todd with the city, having negotiations since we met.
Yeah,
maybe 3 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we need to get done, because, to be honest, it makes our community look bad. Mm-hmm. It makes the city look bad. It doesn't look great on us. Mm-hmm. So we need to come to some kind of a consensus before we can move forward in a story and not be bogged down in this war-type atmosphere. And I think we need to focus on maintaining the integrity of the educational system as it stands now, because I don't know, after the latest round of resignations, I don't know where our total manpower down, but it's down pretty substantially. So that's going to take a lot of time to get everyone kind of refocused in this new way of doing business. And whether we want to admit it or not, running a levy campaign is extremely distracting to the staff. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got these reductions in place. We're getting this plus $3 million from the state, thankfully. Mm-hmm. I think we need to level the chaos a little bit and work on our long-term strategy for the situation, because the situation isn't going to go away. We're kicking the can down the road, so to speak. But we need to go in with a successful strategy the next time we go in. And we have to have a substantial level of support going into it. Going into it with 30% level support doesn't necessarily look like a winning strategy. But, like I said, I want to hear what you have to say. Bill.
It's been a long time advocating my position. And in my 2 years on this board, I've been told that we take recommendations from administration, and so I'd like to know what the administration's recommendation is.
Can we go first? I mean, I would tell you that I respect what the voters in this community have said, and they said it in May, and they're saying it again, that it's not the right time. So, as I've cautioned the board, I think since we did fail in May, that we need to be very strategic. And to me, the strategy lacks for a November pass. So from my position, I would say I don't advise the board to go on in November.
Might be a little bit of a fence riding answer, but I don't know that I would say. I think there's a lot of pros and cons, and I just look at the feedback we get from the community. Some of it, you know, you have valid reasons why I'm voting no. Others, I think you have people just making excuses and looking for a reason to vote mm-hmm. no. So, you know, I kind of look at, you know, how can we get rid of those excuses? So, you know, the idea of going in November 23, I wouldn't make a recommendation saying we go on 23 and say I definitely think it's going to pass. I feel like going in 23 with an income tax wipes away some excuses. I think it would wipe away the excuse of the people saying we're not going to vote for a levy unless it's an income tax. Well, if we try an income tax and it fails, we've wiped away that excuse. They either then have to find another excuse to vote no, or they can jump on behind the idea of a property tax. And it also, you know, wipes away the issue of the issue with the city and not getting the growth because of all the TIFs in the area. And also you've got the people saying, you know, well, you should just go on earlier with a smaller amount. Well, I mean, the sooner you go, the smaller the amount. So again, I'm not saying that I feel like a November levy would pass, but I do feel like it could take away some excuses from some voters.
I have a second question.
Yeah.
Back to strategy. I know last however many years the district's been talking about there's going to be an ask. Mm-hmm. So what is going to change in strategy to move the needle?
Can you repeat that again for me again? Like back, so back when in 2018 when we renewed that, yeah, and said we'd be on in like 22, 23.
Yes. Okay. So I want to know what's going to change, what's different, what are we going to do differently that we haven't done mm-hmm. to move the needle?
I think for me, okay,
I
don't know if you're asking that of us.
Yes, I am.
Because I think number one, kind of when you talk about strategy, it's just not our communications plan or those kind of pieces, while that's part of it, right? There's also listening to where we are as a community and respecting what's being said by the people that we serve collectively. And right now, those people are saying it's not the right time. Whether it's we need more information on funding, we need to have more groups come in and go over what funding looks like, whether we're pushing out in different ways and having some town hall meetings, knowing that, you know, 2024 is the potential. I think there's a variety of things that we do as action steps to help bolster what the support that we don't have right now. I'm not necessarily, I think you said last meeting we only lost by 900 votes, and while I philosophically am in there with you and have said in my mind it's only 500 people we have to change, that's different this November. So I think it's the whole package strategy, and part of that is timing as well. So I think talking about when that ask is appropriate in 2024 or 2025, I would guess it would probably be 2024, and then setting up a series of very specific events that are going to take place around community engagement to that end to help build the momentum we need to have moving into that position in next November.
What happens?
Or next ask, I would say.
So next November, we've talked about primaries, not the idea to go. We are assuming that a presidential election is more favorable than a state referendum, local referendum election. What happens in 24 or May of 25 when people say we don't want our taxes raised? will we make the same decision we're making now by listening to people? Personally, I think our job in leadership is jobs to mold consensus. And that's our job, to mold consensus. We have a worthy cause. We know what the answer is, and that's new revenue. Mm-hmm. We have an ask, 4.5 mil, or 0.5, which are reasonable. They're not 8.4 anymore. We're not talking about a higher ask. We've done the communications. We've done the outreach for over 2 years.
My question, I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, Jermaine. What I'm asking is, between now and November, is that enough time to mold? I'm suggesting that an additional 12, 15 months may bode us well to get the mold of which you are referring.
I'm just curious, have you been speaking to people that are supportive of the levy? Because kind of across the board, any new taxes from the people that are speaking to me are like, it's a no.
I've been speaking to people who expect us to be on the ballot in November.
But for?
They can't say no to something they don't know what was going to be on the ballot. They know there's a lot of people who expect us to be on November. They don't know if they're saying no to an income tax. They don't know if they're saying no to anything. They don't know. They're saying they have it. There's a general, everyone who I've talked to expects us to be on the ballot in November. I know, you know, when we fell, I consider that halftime. Yes, it sucked. But we knew what the scoreboard said, and we knew, all right, we have until November to make ground and to win. Because there's nothing good for students by going the direction that we're talking about going. Nothing good.
So what we're doing by kicking the can down the road is we're draining our financial reserves, which...
That's not it.
That is what we're doing.
No, that's not the only thing we're doing. We're increasing class sizes. We're potentially taking away the educators' negotiation power because there's going to be limited resources. So we're increasing class sizes, increasing the workload. And as a parent, I care about class sizes because I want to make sure that when I have a parent-teacher conference, they actually have time to do the parent-teacher conference and prepare for it. To make sure that bullying is not happening. To make sure that social emotional needs are being met of our students. Those are things I care about. So we're this direction, we're increasing class sizes because we can't just continue hiring. We're limited. We have a contingency plan in place. And we're having our booster clubs maintain the fundraising power, which is taking away any fundraising opportunity from our levy campaign we could possibly run in 24. That's not going away. So we're selecting to go down a hard, tough road that is just getting closer to the cliff. And I don't know, other than, I guess we can assume that, hey, the closer we get to the fire being burnt, that could change people's opinions. But the right thing to do is to do the right thing, and that's to mold the consensus. I have signs in my freaking garage, ready to deploy. I have shirts made. I mean, there's things written, not me personally, I have shirts. I mean, people expect us to go use the momentum. Like, we have a meeting with the city this weekend. Will there not be a momentum there? We don't know. So build up on momentum and get something across the line. At least, to me, we've already failed. Everyone thinks we can't do it.
I'm not sitting here thinking that we failed. I think we made a great effort and we went out and the community, the people that voted, told us very strongly that they did not want to see their taxes go up. And for most of them, it was not a matter of income tax or property tax. It was any tax. And I'm not going to shy away from the challenge. As I said, my heart says do what's right for the kids. And what's right for the kids would be to get a levy passed. Now, my head tells me that when the levy committee conducts a survey and it comes back that, you know, the data that's collected says there isn't any way that we can get this, get a levy passed, that we would have to convince a huge number,
like 17% or something,
of people that voted no to turn and vote yes, and we would have to motivate large numbers of people that chose not to vote at all. And I appreciate how hard every levy committee has ever worked in our school district to try to get a levy passed, even in the best of circumstances. It's always, well, there was one time it passed overwhelmingly, but most of the time it feels tight, I'll put it that way. We can go and we can put out information. We put out a lot of good information, and we didn't convince the people. And I'm not sure that in roughly 2 months before the early voting would, you know, probably start, maybe three. Mm-hmm. That we're going to change that, and I think some of the problem is that we started out, and the finance committee looked at it, conversation with Todd and so forth. They came up with a 9.9 level. Well, then we got a little bit of bump from the state that was kind of unexpected. So we said, okay, now we go to 8.9, and since that time,
we didn't get a bump from the state. We heard that was too high.
Yeah, too high. All right. So we went with 8.9.
8.4. 8.4.
Yeah, or 8.4. Excuse me. And then, but since that time, we have learned that we cannot save money by going to every other day kindergarten. That we would, in fact, actually lose money from that. That there's no savings in terms of transportation. When we made our initial cut or our contingency list for if the levy failed, and it did, and then we didn't change kindergarten, mm-hmm. there were people that said, "See, you didn't need the money. You didn't take kindergarten away." Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that those issues have anything to do with it. It's just that the circumstances over the last 9 months in terms of our funding and where we can save money and where we can't save money have changed. And I think the voters, I think it's going to take longer than 2 months, 2.5 months to be able to get the information out to them. And I don't disagree that there are people that expect us to put an issue on the ballot. Mm-hmm. I sincerely hope there are. But I have not heard anything that gives me hope that we can get that levy passed, and I don't think we can change people's minds and 10 weeks or...
Well, I'm right here and I'm saying so. That you can. Because I've been hearing
that. I'm sorry, ma'am. We don't have public participation. Okay. We can talk to you afterwards, okay? We'd be happy to. Thank you. Thank you.
When I talk to my wife about this, I talk to other people about this. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they all say is, I thought you guys were in desperate need of funds. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that people say. Mm-hmm. So you don't go in November, you think you're going to build any momentum off of that. You're going to subtract potential supporters or freeze them. Mm-hmm. That's anecdotal. Mm-hmm. I guarantee, I admit, but the people I have talked to stopped and said, wait, I thought you guys were in desperate need of funds. I said, we are. They said, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great opportunity to share more information and education about how that school funding works. And I'll just say, I've written down notes here because I talked to kind of a wide variety of people, and I got several who said, well, yeah, you just need to keep going on until you pass something. I got one of the first people talked about the lack of trust that they have because of All Day Every Kindergarten, because of Tri-Academy. You know, both things that were on our contingency plan that changed because of pretty significant changes in information. You know, a nice donation for Tri-Academy, and then the increased funding per pupil that we discovered kind of, you know, right after the levy failed.
So how is going to still be in place?
Well, it's a scaled down version.
It's being funded with
a private donation that was made to the school to fund two teachers in the afternoon.
That would be a 50-50 split between us and the donor.
Yeah. So,
but
so
it'll only be a part-time program.
So only for the kids that were in the program
previously.
Right.
Okay.
So, but anyways, I mean, I guess the thing is that this one person just said, you know, in her group of friends, she's just hearing a lot of, well, I don't think they really needed it in the first place. And so I explained to her, you know, and I said, well, clearly this, in my mind, with all the conversations that I had, when my thought is that we as a board need to be knocking on doors, whether we have a levy on in November, this November, or 5 years from now, you know, it's just that face-to-face conversation. And I know we have community coffees, some people have shown up, but going to those people who maybe don't have kids in the district and reaching out to them and just saying, hey, you know, what kinds of questions do you have? What can I help you to better understand about our district? And then, you know, I talked to another person who has 5 kids, and I think the last one just graduated, but she said, and kind of like you said, everybody was very supportive of what the schools do and everything, but she said, Sue, I think I would wait. She goes, the environment right now in her area is very negative without any kind of tax. I did hear strike while the iron is hot. Then when we talked about the referendum and the environment in our community right now, she and her husband are like, oh, geez, it's not a straightforward, sure, you should do this. You know, they agreed that this is a really tough decision. Someone else talked about, you know, with the smaller amount, I think you might be able to get that passed. And then I think about, like, we haven't really gotten that many emails, but, you know, one email where the person said you need to put a 1% income tax on, and then, you know, you've been wasting money with the renovations at East Elementary and the board office. And that was like, wow. Yeah, I mean, in my mind, we've saved our taxpayers so much money over the years with the things that we've chosen to do with our existing assets. But clearly, that information has not gotten through to a lot of people, or they've formed their own ideas based on whatever perceptions they have about what we're doing. And I also think about the experts, the consultant, who they've worked on so many different levies, and it's hard to ignore what they've said. So the other thing, the other comment that I've heard is about tightening our belts. We know that we're incredibly lean. Again, it's that perception. We know that, but if our community feels like we've got room to tighten our belts, then we've got more talking to do, or listening, whatever, explaining, trying to share information. And I think that, you know, the things that we've done now give us a little bit of flexibility, the extra money from the state, the contingency plan. The one other thing that I was thinking is that fact that we've gone, now it'll be 6 to 15 years right now, but financially for our taxpayers, that's been a real savings, for a real boon for them, for us not to have asked for new money for 15 years. On the negative side, we haven't been out there knocking on doors and telling our story financially, and they haven't really had a reason to question or look at things closely because we haven't had to ask for new money. And like any good teacher knows, repetition is the road to understanding and teaching. And so I think kind of repeating our message, and we can fine-tune it based on a lot of the information that we've been hearing since May, or things that we haven't been hearing, I guess. Yeah.
As we potentially might kick the can down the road, mm-hmm. the 4.5 and or 0.5 tax, what will happen if we wait a year to those figures? And do those bring back our current cuts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, really, this depends how you slice it. So, I mean, for example, the question of where are we okay with the deficit hitting the forecast?
Right.
So, meaning you could pass a 4.5 mil levy or a 5.5 mil levy and not bring back cuts, and that gets us out to here with a positive balance, or we could pass that exact same levy and bring back all of the cuts that we did, and that's going to shorten the time of when mm-hmm. we're positive. Mm-hmm. I guess if we had a recommendation of here's what we want to do, I could run you a simulation and say, here's what this would look like. But in essence, speaking of a property tax, for example, a 4.5 mil levy generates, a little over $5 million probably. So if we pass it in November of 23 versus November of 24, that's $5.3 million that we missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's 1 year of collection.
In terms of this going into this year, we're dealing with the reductions in staff and mm-hmm. all of those kinds of things. I would think it would be very difficult to undo many or most of those during the course of the school year. Would we, in essence, be looking at the beginning of next year to make any significant
if you were bringing
changes?
People back? Yep. So if we run in November and we pass, will we bring people back?
Mm-hmm.
You could definitely, I guess, bring back maybe the assistant coaches and transportation for athletics. It would be very difficult to maybe bring back classroom teachers because we're already in the year, especially bundled, which is where we saw the large.
And that's really kind of where my head was, because in terms of the instructional organization, that's the place where we have the greatest impact in terms of the cost savings we've implemented.
There would maybe be support positions or maintenance positions that could come back
mm-hmm.
Immediately, but certainly, wouldn't necessarily impact class size right off the bat.
But the positions would be posted, correct? I mean, 2 months ago you said if we pass, positions would be posted. It would take a year or so to build up.
Yeah, that's right. Positions will be posted. I'm not sure we'd hire mid-year teachers. I mean, to your point.
Understood.
You'd have to, in Bunzel's case, you'd have to completely reorganize the student body, change all of their schedules. And
if you were going to make it what it was, it would be a complete schedule.
But going next to November, you just delay it by 2 years. The same rule would apply.
Well, that's true.
And kind of, I just want to remind you, we kind of talked about this last time. I mean, again, you know, we need to use the feedback we've received to make priorities. The levy failed, unfortunately, knowing that class size would increase, teachers would be reduced, assistant coaches would be lost, and transportation would be lost. And unfortunately, we didn't have enough support. So the question you would want to ask, if that's part of your package, do we feel that we now have the support to bring the things back that weren't prioritized at the beginning? That probably made that more worthy than that. But,
yeah, sure.
Let me ask you the impossible question. But, yeah. What's your opinion on how this is going to affect the you know, graduation statistics down the road? I mean, I know it's not going to be positive, but how bad?
Right. Well, I mean, so if you just take Tri-Cathy, which is one of our anchors to really boosting NHS's graduation rate, you know, we're going to use the Tri staff strategically at the high school in the morning to embed some credit recovery type opportunities and support systems, and then they are going to serve kind of the highest need students in the afternoons. So I feel like we're in pretty good shape with what we have. I'm not really going to know until we get going and we flush out numbers. The impact will be different. Tri-Academy will not be able to serve as many people, but the hope would be by starting on the front end, by having them there in the morning, maybe we could intervene before kids would be at the level of needing Tri. So, I mean, it's going to be a challenge, there's no doubt, but I feel pretty good about it.
Like the kids at Earnsville that are going to be coming up through the high, I mean, it's going to be delayed. It's not going to, I mean, anything that we do now, it's going to be, there's going to be a delayed reaction, delayed result, correct? I mean,
well, I thought he meant directly about Tri-Academy for the next, I can't predict how middle school students are going to matriculate through a traditional schedule. Other districts do not have teaming. It's my preferred model at the middle school. I think it's right-minded by the developmental stage of kids in their teenage years to have teaming.
But the data shows that high class sizes impact achievement scores, correct?
You have data that would suggest both, that class size does matter and class size doesn't matter. There's enough research on both sides.
So experts have multiple opinions. Yes. Experts have multiple opinions.
That it's more about instruction than it is about class size.
So
it's
experts,
all over the gamut.
If experts have multiple opinions, then why are we choosing one expert here to not go to the bottom and remember?
Well, we're talking about an expert who just focuses solely on levies.
There's experts that focus solely on education.
Right. Well, I guess we're just talking about the levy right now, so
but
that's why.
Experts, correct.
I mean, they've got a. I'm just going to say they've got a track record.
No.
They've got a track record. That's
guys are missing the point.
Hey, if you have two groups of experts and they do experiments and one comes back and says that, you know, class size can be a factor, and the other one says that it's not. But that the biggest factor is the instructional method. It's not so much how many kids are in the class. That yes, there's benefits in both situations because more kids gives you more activities, correct. But to me, the key is not so much that experts disagree, because experts disagree all the time on things. But in terms of that particular issue, the instructional method, which I think we have nailed in the most positive manner, is the key. In terms of voter opinion, these are people that are experts in terms of how to conduct a survey. It's not, it doesn't drive their answer, their response. Because what they did for our levy committee was to sample the public and come up with and how they conducted that survey, how they gathered that information, how they structured the questions is where their expertise lies, not in the outcome.
And if you picked a different firm, there could be potentially a different result. Because different firms have different methodologies. There's not a similar methodology.
We didn't pick the firm, but this is the most well-respected firm in the state. So, the
how many firms are there in the state?
I know there's three or four at least.
Yeah. I'm just saying that we're really putting a lot of weight into this.
Well, I mean, I'm putting some weight. I'm including conversations that I had with kind of a wide variety of people, and listening to others' input as well. I mean, I'm trying to use as much information as I can.
I guarantee you, if you ask 12 months from now, you're going to have a variety of responses, just like we do now. It's our job. It's our job as leaders to do the right thing. It's important.
Yeah. Well, and I worry.
Passivity is not going to achieve anything. It's not.
Well, I mean, I worry about if the environment is as negative as I feel it is right now, and we put something out there and it fails, what kind of cuts are we talking about then?
Why do we need cuts if we can make it to 2025?
I mean, I think that's...
If there's not a... I don't know. What motivates a person to vote for a levy? If we're saying we need this money, but we don't need it for 4 years or 5 years, and we're not going to make any cuts, are people going to show up at the polls to vote for the levy?
And we're deficit spending. We're deficit spending right now. You know? So, I mean, I think if you... Like, I think about my own finances. If I know I'm deficit spending, but I have, let's say I've got $20,000 in a savings account, I'm deficit spending, but I've got $20,000 in a savings account, I'm not gonna stop my normal lifestyle. I'm gonna continue going out. I'm gonna continue buying 5 new outfits a month or, you know, whatever. To me, that's irresponsible. If I know I'm deficit spending, then I'm looking for ways that least impact my lifestyle to save money until I can find a replacement. And that's what to me, that's what we need to do as board members. We need to find ways to save money that least impact our students.
Todd said we cannot cut our way out of this.
I know, but if you have to be as conservative as possible until we get the new funds. I mean, I know we have to pass something. We have to pass something in the next few years.
Point, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but just looking at the idea of a levy and the timing of November 23, or if we're looking at 24, and I just my own thoughts, just like strategy, if we were on the ballot of 23, our selling point for a levy is, you know, we're in my opinion, we would probably not have a cut list, because we've gotten $3 million of new state funding, and we've cut over $2 million of expenditures. So we've tightened our belts considerably, new state funding, so our balance looks a lot different. So if the levy were to fail in November of 23, it really wouldn't be fair to our students to then, you know, turn around and make a bunch of cuts. So I think our selling point for a levy in 23 would then be, you know, to Bill's question, by going now instead of later, it's a smaller amount. You know, that would be one of the bigger selling points, because the sooner you start with the levy, you can go with a smaller amount. And two, which I've already forgotten, I think partly just that we have tightened our belts. So just saying,
in June, and we were told if we don't pass levy by May, that we would have to, some of the cuts would be here in the elementary, correct? That was one of the, I mean, that was the reductions.
No, I said these are options. I never recommended cuts. I said if we
That's
need
exactly
to cut.
What I'm saying. That was an option. If we don't pass a levy by May of next year, 24, that we would have to make those type of cuts. We have that meeting not even
that
months
was,
ago.
Well, again, there's different
Knowing
circumstances.
That there was $2 million or $3 million that we could get an increased state funding.
I believe each of those were given as a caveat in order to, for someone that was of a no new tax mentality, it would take reductions to that extent to.
Well, the other part of that puzzle was the cuts that are in place. Was if we're bringing back those cuts, that changes things significantly. If we're leaving the cuts in place, that changes things. So it depends on where are we with the cuts? Are we bringing them all back? Are we not? I mean, because that's, you know, several mills.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm debating, but there's already consensus formed, so I apologize. I'm probably a little frustrated.
I'm looking for a positive way to go forward. I really am.
You don't know if you're going to win the game unless you play it.
Well, and I understand that. And there's another coaching maxim that says you don't ask people to do things they can't do. And it's my question, and I don't frame this or get this thing framed as putting a levy on is good and not doing that is bad. I mean, we have some options, and we know there's no disagreement that long-term we need some more money. Short-term, as I was trying to say, things have changed rather dramatically over the last 9 months in a variety of different ways. And we do have the ability to continue to operate the schools. I agree with Sue in that we know that we're going to be in deficit spending. We're in deficit spending now. I don't know if the new budget,
we still are.
Okay, we're in deficit spending now. So I think the appropriate thing to do is to make some adjustments to try to extend the funds that we have available as far as we can. The reluctance I have is the size of the defeat, how vocal opposition was, the information that we received from the levy committee that suggested that it would that there was really no change foreseeable sufficient that was going to give us an opportunity to be successful with the levy. I don't, you know, the impact is on the kids. Every time people have voted against the levy, it's the kids that are the ones that are impacted. There always has been. And it's, you know, it's hurtful to me. I have not been able, the rational side of me has not been able to put the facts and figures, put the comments, put all the different things together and come to a conclusion that we stand a good chance of getting a levy passed this November. And I wish with all my heart that it was different. So, I mean, if something happens in the next few days...
Do you have a comment, Bill?
Well, I have about three questions.
What would happen in the next few days like to change this?
I don't have an answer. I've been sitting here thinking, and I hope this gets taken the right way. When the levy went down, I did not see or hear an outcry. hey, we were close. Gosh, you know, we really did a great job. It's in hand. We need to start now. Put that levy on the ballot. And that, you know, it didn't come from the community. It didn't come from the levy committee. It didn't come from the people that we need to support the kids. And
that, what that is different than, like, back in 2008. I can remember when it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh no. I can remember the energy in the community that was exhibited, in favor of the school system, and you'd have a rally and downtown just packed with people. And I
wonder about, like, the property tax, the property valuations, the combination of the property valuation increase and people getting their tax bills in February and July, you know, like, there it is, like, bam, I'm paying how much more? And then, again, going to the grocery store. I just think the combination of those things has put people in their breaking point, kind of. With budget.
I guess what could change my mind is if I heard from people that were enthusiastic, saying, we have to do this, we have to do this. I have literally heard that from no one. I've heard it from no one. So I guess I want to meet your circle of friends, because
I don't have enthusiastic voters. No one's going to enthusiastically support a tax increase. They're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. They're going to do it because they've been presented with information and have its deadline. November, having an election is an urgency, just like an assignment. No one's going to study until there's a deadline. So no one, like, we're all talking about communication, getting out to doors, doing all this stuff. A deadline is an election, and you get the message out, and you turn up energy. Why? I mean, that's our job. I'll admit, I offered to do a lot of things in the spring, but I didn't knock on as many doors as I should have. Mm-hmm. I was passive in my approach. I'm not going to be passive anymore. I asked to help, and I helped in ways I was asked to help. But I could improve. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I did the best job ever. Mm-hmm. I didn't. So I know that I can at least give more effort in November. And I guarantee you there's more people in the community who could give more effort too. Just because we lost one time doesn't mean there's nothing to learn. It doesn't mean it's not worth a try again. People are going to just say, oh, they're not going to believe you. You're going to have another on the ballot for the first time situation in 2 years or a year.
Yep. What's the strategy that you're proposing?
The strategy I'm proposing is, listen, Bill, I agree with you. I wish we could do the income tax. But for simplicity, put the 4.5 mill property tax back on. It's cutting the ask in half and going back out and asking for that to pass.
The same issues that they used against us in May are still things that they're going to say.
It's cut in half. I guarantee you that moves some people. There are some people that was just too much of an ask. We can't just assume that, oh, they just, I mean, yes, most people are, if you say, hey, I want to raise my food prices, you want to come, the food has been really good. You know, it's like they're going to begrudgingly come again. Just like we all have in our personal lives, we begrudgingly got higher gas prices, we originally got higher groceries, but we still purchased what we needed. We need a quality education for our community. Like, I have kids, I'm not trying to take it personal, I know I'm supposed to think about the whole community, but I'm really thinking, part of me is thinking about, man, all my kids are coming in this district, and we're talking about doing all things, our class sizes going up, where workload is. If I want to get my kids involved in sports as they enter those ages, we're talking about more cost. We're talking about all these things, and guess what? I know Dublin's putting on a levy. I know Columbus is putting on a levy. I know Fairbanks is putting on a levy. They're not afraid to go in November. They have the same issues we have. Maybe they are afraid, but they have the courage to go. I'm not saying here's not an option. I'm just saying that they are doing it because it's what's good for the student, it's what's good for the staff, and we're sitting here saying, let's just come back next year. And maybe people will come to us and say, we want more taxes, please. That's not how we pass this. We've never, our district has passed the first time. That's what I've been told. Mm-hmm. So why did we, like, part of me is like, yes, it would have been very nice to pass the first time. Mm-hmm. But since I've been on board, being on the ballot in November has been the plan. Unless I was not in the meeting, and I missed something, I missed the brief. Mm-hmm. That's been the plan. So how did we change this board's opinion from a month ago, mm-hmm. 2 months ago, to everyone saying, we can't do it?
I think it was some... Oh, go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say, I think it's the survey is the number one thing.
The referendum, maybe, too? The referendum? I don't know. Oh, okay.
But I think mm-hmm. that survey mm-hmm. really makes a difference. But my question is, I guess I've got three of them. What's it cost to actually run the levy in May?
In November.
In November, I'm sorry.
Well, there's two different costs.
Not counting campaign costs, just to put it on the ballot.
Oh, gotcha. Well,
and the campaign costs aren't ours anyway. It's got to make that clear. Right. Yeah, we don't do the campaign.
We can't answer that because we don't know what else is on the ballot. I mean, it would be considerably less than what it was in May just because there will be multiple other items on the ballot, but I don't know how much is on there yet to know how much it would be.
And then, you know, what does it cost us? And I guess this is an unfair question because we have to pass a levy at some point, you know, in times of distraction and time being spent. I guess that's a rhetorical question. You know, it's huge. So when's our next ask if we don't go in November? When would that be, in your opinion? Would that be May or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
It would actually be March.
March. Okay.
We keep saying May because it was May this year.
Right.
Yeah.
The next chance you would have would be March, and then of 2024, and then you'd have
November
of 2024. Mm-hmm. The last time the district passed new money was in 2008, which was a presidential as well.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm asking is if there are people in the community that feel strongly, they mm-hmm. should be reaching out. And
that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it should. Okay.
Well, I mean, Bill's had phone call. I think we've all talked to a variety of people, and I've heard both. I have not heard a resounding, you've got to go on in November. That's been mine, you know, and I haven't heard a resounding that was the expectation, you know.
So no one, they were surprised. They weren't surprised when we might not be on the ballot in November. They're like, oh, okay.
No, there was relief with some of them.
But there was an expectation. You can't have a relief without an expectation of an answer coming, a question being asked.
Okay, so if I just said, you know, here, can we put, we may put something on this November, or we're considering waiting. And they pondered it, and I would say that from that, you know, some of them like, I think it would be a good idea to wait. Some said, no, you need to go on. You need to go on until you pass. I mean, so I'm just saying it wasn't, for me, it wasn't a resounding clear cut. Okay. And I do feel like the referendum, you know, the issue with growth, like that feeling in the city right now from some of our residents, that's what I hear a lot of, you know, we're growing too fast. And just kind of this, people are wanting to put the brakes on. And so, again, I mean, a levy is an opportunity for people to say no, whether it's related to growth or not. Sometimes it's just that I have an opportunity here to say no about something. And that's, and I have a fear about that because I know not every voter goes into the voting booth with a complete understanding of what they're voting on.
And if I'm a betting man, I bet there's more referendums in the pipeline. There's other annexations mm-hmm. that are questionable mm-hmm. that for the zoning code mm-hmm. will be approved
yeah.
because that's how the zoning code prevents. Mm-hmm. People who are going to referendum again.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a betting man, mm-hmm. that's how it's going to play out.
And I guess I look at that as, you know, like I think about, Dick and I were even talking about, what if we set something, I don't know if we can, set something up at Festifair, you know, and have a table with information that had, no, okay, don't do that, but anyways.
They won't let you.
Oh, they won't let you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you don't have a, I don't know if it's just a school information booth, just to say.
Citizens for school committee could
okay.
potentially do that. They have participated
okay.
in Festifair, so
okay.
that would be an avenue that you potentially
yeah.
want to lean into.
Okay. So we could have some information for people and, you know, and again, like I've been going to.
Very,
what's
deadline
that?
Makes it matter. Give
yeah.
the information all day, but the deadline, knowing I have to make a decision at a certain time,
mm-hmm.
that's what makes me pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned many times that, you know, people are expecting something in November, and that may well be true. I have not come to the point where there is the expectation of it being on the ballot is going to result in a yes vote from people, which is what we need. You know, people that voted no may be expecting the ballot, you know, an issue to be in November, but they're not going to vote. They may not vote any differently than what they did this spring.
Something I need to consider is what it does to the community if the levy fails. If we put it on, okay, and we do our best, and it fails again, it's very demoralizing. Very demoralizing to the teachers, the students, the coaches, you know, the community members. It's not just a win and loss and everybody goes home and we start again the next day. It has lingering effects. There are still people upset from May. And that impacts the school system.
They're upset in May that we lost. Are their feelings going away between now, knowing that the impacts are going to stay in place? The impact of the loss, the consequences of the loss are going to just be now prolonged mm-hmm. until the environment's right. I mean, to me, that's not, like, hope is knowing that there is a path forward. And right now, the path forward is prolonged pain until November of 24, maybe May of 25. Mm-hmm. And to me, am I wrong here? That's the path forward. That's the path we're discussing. Do I feel, I guess, is my morale increasing under those circumstances? Or is it the fact that, I guess, the question isn't on the table for people to say no, therefore I can just deal with the day-to-day? I mean, I guess that's what we're saying, is that's easier than something being on the... I mean, personally, I think people want their Board of Education. If I'm a teacher, I think I want my Board of Education not to wait, not to be passive, but to fight and get on the ballot and win. That's how I mean. I'm going to go to a different district. You know, because they're giving us 110%. Why are we choosing to wait? Why are we choosing to? We know the problem. We know what the solution is, and we know that it's an uphill battle. There's never going to be a time where people are going to come to you and say, man, we really could use some extra taxes. Can you please provide us with an option this mm-hmm. this election? No one's ever going to come to you and say that.
Well, I think people look at the impacts on their family and their community and so forth. And I was going to ask you this. You may not have an answer on this, but in discussions with the Booster Club, did you get a sense that they would support a levy in November?
I can't ask that question.
I
would tell you, there were challenges with concerns around sustainability of our current model, which I shared a couple board meetings ago.
I apologize for asking that question.
Okay.
That's one of the frustrations also, is that...
Right, we're pretty limited.
The people that have the most information about what's going on, have their finger on the finances and the operation of the school district, are limited to saying nothing.
Do they know that we're talking about this now? I mean, have we had a discussion with the boosters, the teachers union, saying the Board of Education is considering waiting, or was there any feedback?
There has been a conversation with
the
union leadership.
What was the feedback?
That there was an understanding of why we would wait.
There's an understanding?
There was a concern without any type of agreement with the city that it could be potentially challenging moving forward.
What would be the challenges for us in March? I know that we've had some conversation, but I'm sitting here and I can't remember.
I think weather would be one of them.
Well, it's generally speaking, our larger turnout and would be at the presidential,
right?
And potentially that's the better time to be on if you're comparing the two.
But we could go in March.
You absolutely could. And you could absolutely go on in November of this year.
What about the booster clubs? Has there been conversation with the booster clubs?
There has not been, from me. Or any, you know, that the initial meetings and subsequent meetings I have just been clarifying questions, you know, making sure we have the details right for heading into this year.
So now, I know we're not funding the campaign, but what would it cost to run the campaign in November of this year, 23?
I mean, ultimately, I think Sue would probably have to ask the co-chairs.
They
mentioned $30,000.
I think that's
in a different setting, I believe, than I have.
That's kind of a low kind of but if we, you know, if they wanted to use the same signs, then that would obviously be a savings there.
Well, what I'm saying, I guess, is if you fail in November, we've spent $30,000 there, which we don't know if that's the right figure or not, but if we have, what's our potential to recover that and be ready to go in March?
Well, you'd have to be ready to go in December.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
Right. Because several months before March. Yeah, that would be a big challenge. That would be a big challenge.
Yeah. And honestly, for November, that would be a big challenge.
Yes.
Because what I understand is that
there's a lot of competition out there right now.
There's not a set aside fund at this point for November. So in addition to getting information out, you would also need to raise something in that neighborhood, being able to bear the costs of, and that's all donations outside of the school district.
But unless we do something to alleviate the boosters, the boosters and PTO programs are going to all be fundraising, and our community is limited in the dollars that are out there. And so people are going to be giving to the schools to help solve a problem, and that problem's not going to go away. And what, we're really getting in the weeds of what they can do, but I'm just betting that the fundraising pool is probably going to be limited because of the contingency plan we have in place.
That's going to be the same in either case.
Mm-hmm. No, because if I don't have to pay for an assistant coach, if I don't have to pay for travel, my fundraising dollar target is lower. I mean,
That won't change for a year. I mean, that's in place this year. Right now, there's
right, November. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get what you're saying between now and November. Mm-hmm. That's not
be challenging.
What I'm saying
is that if it passes in November,
going after the same people, same community to help support the schools, but not support a levy. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? Because there's only so many dollars out there to contribute. And when you're paying for assistant coaches, when you're paying for travel, those dollars are more significant. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But my fear is that if you don't have enough dollars to go after one of these campaigns and run it effectively, then you end up losing both times.
Mm-hmm. But the most cost-effective way to do it is go back-to-back. Because you already have your support signs, you have there's a general expectation, a messaging thing, you already have people in place. Yes, you need more money. I'm not saying it's impossible, but time between now and the messaging is all forgotten, momentum's gone, all the air's out, there's no, it's not momentum. And I think the most cost-effective way is to go back-to-back. That's my... I could be wrong. That's my take.
I'm just concerned that at this point we don't have an agreement with the city. Mm-hmm. That was a big issue with Scotts Farm voters and Adena Point, Weaver Ridge voters. Mm-hmm. They were not going to vote yes on a levy when their additional tax dollars were not going to go to the school.
Well,
and we have had some good conversations. We are going to have a follow-up meeting Friday morning.
Great.
But there is not an agreement.
Right. There's not consensus. There's results from our conversation that'll be shared, and from that we can start kind of finalizing or whatever.
So
you can come up with that.
Thursday is our board meeting. Friday's the meeting with the city. Mm-hmm. July 28th is actually the deadline to file to run in November. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that if there's an agreement by the city that we would go in the levy, we would run in November. That's the game changer. That we have an agreement by the city that we're fine going in November.
I would say cautiously, I could agree with that if we were to get that agreement that, on Friday, I could see myself changing my vote to say go for November, because I think that would be a big. What do I want to say? Concession on their part to let us do that.
The TIP agreement was I know it's the 900 votes, but it's a lot because we looked at every district and we lost in everyone.
Even Mill Valley.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad I'm hearing that from Bill. It gives me a little bit of hope. Maybe it's not three no's. Go in November, maybe there's a chance that you can.
That TIF agreement, I think, was a big reason to vote no.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that have kids in the district, either they did not vote or they chose not to vote because, I went through and I looked at who voted. And a lot of people that said they were going to vote for the school levy never showed up. They did not vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my concern. How do you, and a lot of those are parent age folks.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
How do you get those people out there to vote, even for their own kids? I mean, that's,
It was in May. There's only one issue about it.
But they said they were going to. You know, I mean, I think that's the kind of, that's the scary part when people say,
I could understand
yeah, sure.
if it were me with no kids in the district, but your kid's sitting there in the classroom and you say, you know, and then you choose not to vote. Mm-hmm. I
think there's a more natural inclination, elections in November, May is,
I know.
May, or, I mean, I think those
mm-hmm. are we sent out enough stuff to.
I have the same people in my group that didn't vote, and I know what you're saying, but I'm saying there's going to be more reasons to go vote.
Mm-hmm. True, very true.
And maybe they won't vote then, but I mean, we're going to have a school year where its class size is going up. You're going to have the contingency plans in place, so there's still consequences that are being impacted that are going to probably call worthy.
And unfortunately, through this levy campaign, I feel that we have a certain lack of trust, which I personally feel is completely unfounded, okay? Mm-hmm. But people are throwing all kinds of stuff out there to cause a sense of distrust between the community and the school board. And I think we have to find a strategy to be able to combat that information. And I felt we were pushing a lot of information out there, a lot of information. And I don't know how to make people read it or look at it or accept it or believe it.
But that challenge isn't going away. That's my point in this whole thing. That challenge isn't going away. With time, it doesn't get better. That's my thing. I don't. You say we're going to communicate and do other things, but you've done that. I mean, you've been doing that for years, right? I don't know how we swing the momentum, you know, 40 points the opposite way with 10 months, 12, you know, 2 years. I think unless there's urgency, which mm-hmm. a levy on the ballot gives you a sense of urgency to be engaged, to be informed, and we're not the dwarves. I can set my game up from last May. I know that. Mm-hmm. I think we have to. I don't know. There's the challenges don't go away, but I don't think time dissolves the challenge. Is what I'm trying to say. I don't think it weakens it. I think the challenge is still going to be there a year from now or 2 years from now. You're going to have the same challenge. The only other thing is you're going to have maybe more pain that people have been enduring in the school system with higher class sizes, and I don't want that from anyone. But I'm not trying to prolong the debate. I have my position. I'm very set on that position. But I mean, seems like there's already consensus. But it seems like, from what I'm hearing, that there's an agreement with the city that could open up some minds.
From a logistical standpoint, we could only have an agreement from the city in principle. I mean, I would imagine the way the city runs, it seems like they need 3 votes for everything. So we'd probably be looking at a long time before we would
like September, maybe.
For certain.
August, or the end of August or September.
Again, because just like probably only 2 people have, I would say I'm not sure there's consensus amongst council with the work group.
Mm-hmm. I was a little afraid of putting too much stress on that negotiation team for this levy. Mm-hmm. I was trying to say we shouldn't do that, but at this point, we're everyone saying we should go.
I think you'll use that. As
bait
or something. right.
That's not my first.
Well, and I get, you know, that I did. That was another. It reminds me. That was another comment that I heard from somebody when I asked about the levy. They said, "Well, I'm sure glad that you're finally talking to city council." You know, and I'm like, "Well, actually, we've been talking a long time. You know, it's just kind of we changed the format now and tried to, you know, with the small group, have 2 council members, have 2 school board members. We had the entire ones, you know, our whole board and council meet." But I guess in my mind, that's also, that's one of my concerns with November, with not allowing this story to unfold a little bit more and to, hopefully be able to show some positive movement, that can set us up and that can maybe start helping to bring a more positive feeling in our community, you know, and more of a, like, we are a team. We are approaching this, you know, we don't think growth is bad. We don't want growth to be paid for from school funds solely, you know, but we want to approach it as a team. And, you know, how do we talk to developers and how we bring things that are going to help make our community stronger? So I guess that's, in my mind, I do think that that's an opportunity that might take a little bit longer to share, but hopefully that changes the atmosphere.
The only thing else I would remind you, at 8.4, the mm-hmm. gain for the district was nearly $800,000, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Oh, from
it,
yes.
The TIF.
Yeah. Right.
When you drop that 5 to 4.5
yes.
or
yeah.
5.5.
That's like half.
Yeah, you're also dropping that amount that would be coming from the city. And I would say in general terms, not to let the cat out of the bag, but it seems to me potential is just a one time, not for the life of the TIF.
Mm-hmm. So one levy, you get one chance.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe.
Right.
Okay.
There are caveats. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I again, I'm
yeah. Right. Right.
Putting that so much stress.
I would
that,
too.
Like,
yes. Yes.
Right. Personally, but
yeah.
You're when faced with going on in November, we're going to prolong it for a year. I mean, I
right
in the position I hold, that's
right.
That's the only reason why. I'm
I think you made some great points, and I heard your passion around leadership. But I think also one of the most valuable parts of being a strong leader is not only having IQ, but EQ. And to me, this is one of those moments where EQ is emerging in our community. And I think, you know, our EQ needs to emerge and be good listeners and make sure we're taking in what we're hearing, not just to be up about the fight. That would be my only caution, to make sure that we're taking in and respecting the voice of kind of our voters and our community and our timing right now. And sometimes just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. But make sure that as a collective we're all listening and making that a part of moving forward as well.
I know that, and just from memory, and I may, please correct me if I didn't hear this right, but I think when we got a report from the levy committee, we didn't get a report, we didn't get anything from them, but conversation, there was a mention that the turnout was much higher, whether that came from the Board of Elections or whatever, it was higher than a typical May single issue ballot. So I think we drove people, yes and no, we drove them to the ballot box. That they, you know, there was certainly not as many yes people as we would have liked. Higher numbers. If a decision is not to go in November, to me, March would be deserving of serious consideration, because we're going to have presidential primaries that are going to be driving Republicans and Democrats to vote on those things, and we would get more people involved, more people coming there. We would have from now until then to be able to tell our story. So part of my reluctance, I guess I haven't said this, was the fact that we got a large turnout, and the largest number of people that were motivated to show up were the no's, and that was that to me was really disappointing. You know, the word was out. I think people, particularly our parents, knew. And we didn't get the yes voters to show up and vote, which is what we needed to do. And with a levy committee, a volunteer levy committee, that depleted funds, you know, would have to start over just trying to put together the issue and do a credible job would be, I think that would be very difficult, not impossible. And like I said, I'm still, if I could come to some sort of rational agreement, my heart wants to do it. My heart, that's what I want to do. But I can't get past the kinds of things we've talked about. You know, we've got large numbers of people in the polls and they said no. We did a survey, or the levy committee did a survey, and the response was an overwhelming no. And I can't just set that aside because it doesn't fit what I want to do.
Just throwing out random information as I think about things, you know, so the difference between a November or a March levy, in my opinion, again, is you know, one on a millage side, you know, you're talking 1 year of collection, so that does sway the millage a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. if you're waiting until March, it brings the millage up number just a little bit, depending on, you know, what our target is, but from a, I don't know, say school operations standpoint, there's probably not a lot of difference because the money, you know, November is in, and November and March are both in the same school year. Mm-hmm. So from an operations standpoint, it's probably pretty similar.
The timing of receiving them would be the same? The timing of receiving additional funds?
No, the timing of receiving funds would be different, which is why the millage would be different. I guess what I'm saying is the timing of decisions made mm-hmm. would be the same, I guess is what I'm saying. Because if you pass in November, if you pass a levy in November, you're not going to hire all your new teachers because you can't hire a bunch of new teachers in the middle of the year. So I guess what I'm saying is if you pass in November or you pass in March, it still allows you to hire new teachers in next summer.
November 23 to March 24.
So if you were comparing March 24 to November 24, then it would make a difference.
Correct.
I just caution March, because if you're running in March, you're basically running in November. I mean, there's nothing on the ballot in November, mm-hmm. but March is dark, it's cold, mm-hmm. and you need independents who do not participate in partisan politics to turn out, and getting people motivated to go out and knock on doors and drop late when it's 6 o'clock or 5 p.m. and it's dark. I've had friends run in primaries. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them and their own ballot. And I'm just, if you're going to do March, you might as well.
The work doesn't change.
But the environment is different. I hear what you're saying.
The environment is a lot different than October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
I agree with 90% of what you say, Jermaine. Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to do that. I don't think it's going to be difficult to sustain that momentum to March. You know, to November the following year is going to be you're right, it's a tough ask to you basically starting over, I think, again with the mm-hmm. campaign machine. On the other hand, I don't think we can afford to run two campaigns. And if we run one and fail, the next one will most likely do the same thing because we'll be out of steam, you know. And it, you know, it really devastates everybody when the levy goes down that's involved with the schools, you know, from teachers to parents to just everyone, you know.
Well, this is our third meeting talking about this question.
Mm-hmm.
What do we go from here? Because again, the trend has only gone where most people are now a no for November. It seems like it's but
right.
Personally for my health reasons, maybe.
Yes.
Frustration.
Right.
If there's agreement, I mean, are we going to talk about this at another meeting? And
well, I mean, we could go ahead and have a Board of Education action item. And if somebody wants to make a motion and second it, have discussion and vote. And then
I would say if we are going to have even the potential of we're passing a 11 request resolution, that's not a simple,
Right. That's where you need to get something.
We need to get an attorney to draw that up and that kind of thing. So I would just say if that's something that we're even considering, I think we would want to know that now so I can get everything drawn up, I's dotted, T's crossed, and so not to say you have to do that right now, but if somebody's even saying, well, I'd like to maybe throw that
17th,
out there and
right?
see what happens, we want to have that resolution done and done right.
Right.
So if we would put something on the ballot in November, would it be a property tax or an income tax?
I started off this summer saying income tax. At this point, what did the survey results say? There was no statistical difference, I guess.
Like 50-50, pretty much.
My gut says if there is an agreement, that could be a positive for the property tax for only the precincts in Marysville, which could help. I'm not saying that could swing votes the right way. I think that I've heard everyone say the challenge with an income tax, the communication piece. So I guess I'm 50-50 with the question, Nan, but I'm trying to get something passed as soon as possible. That's my position. It's whatever we can do to get that momentum in that direction.
Well, at one time you did make a comment that I agreed with, that I feel that there is some benefit to having a more diversified income flow than just property tax. And I would lean towards income tax in that. Well, first of all, the collection time is a year behind
delayed.
What a property tax would be. So that's something to consider if you even want to try it. That would be the one time to try it. And the earned income tax would definitely be, earned income tax would be what I would show a preference to. But again, that takes a lot of voters that work in Columbus region.
Right.
Takes them completely out of it. And they have fought hard already through city council trying to get
the reciprocal,
reciprocal agreement.
Or bring it back because, they used to have that.
And they're... Those people feel very passionately of that perspective. But I
lean toward the income tax because eventually, if municipalities are continually able to take our tax money away, and they're not going to give that up voluntarily, that will have to be a state initiative. To say no more of this TIF activity. The only thing we can do right now is run it back to the 75-15, but they're still going to come after that. And so eventually, whether it's this election or the next one, tax run, we've got to get some income tax on ballot, does it hit everybody? No, fairly. It doesn't. If you're a business owner, are you happy about a property tax? No. So it doesn't help them out either. So either way, there's a sector of our community that's getting hammered harder than the other sector. But I do think having somebody able to come in and take our taxes away from us is a big issue.
I think I would support a 0.5 income tax. It's lower than what we were originally talking about, just like the millage property tax. And I think in the argument, there's still an argument that you know that money's flowing straight to the schools.
Right.
And that's what you're saying. And
right.
I think that's the part of the messaging. If we would go that route, you know, I would support that. But at the end of the day, if you were to put a 4.5 millage, you know, there's a lot of people who say we're not going to support that, and I'll have to try to get their votes. But, you know, the challenge is going to be big no matter which option we go. I just think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Worth pursuing.
Do we want to take the time to have a resolution drawn up? Or I mean, I guess I'm if I hear the conversation, I feel like it does not look like it would be a passing vote.
Well, I'm split.
Yeah.
And then there's two others that have not weighed in. So I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence. You can win my support for a property tax.
I'm even just talking about a resolution, like putting something on, you know, like to put a resolution to put something on in November, you know. From our conversations.
I think we should draft one up, and then we can vote it up or down.
When will we do
it'd
that?
It'd be Thursday.
Thursday night.
It'd be Thursday.
We won't know anything until Friday morning as far as what
right
the way I'm voting.
Well, even then, but again, even what we know on Friday is
yeah.
still...
I know.
It's nothing's signed,
but it should be a political bad move on their part.
Right.
Could we use that option? Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Can we use that option, whatever the agreement looks like for... When there is, I don't know when the timeline is for the bond issue. I know that's we're trying to keep that as far out as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But is that an option for the bond issue?
Is what an option for the bond issue?
Whatever the agreement is with the city, for the
it would depend on what the agreement
year.
With the city is. But I would, on the flip side, I would say when it comes time for a bond issue, we'll have the exact same issue we have.
Right.
Where residential TIFs are not paying to the school the same amount
mm-hmm.
because of the
and
TIF
whatever
issue.
Happens on Friday may not fix that.
It may or may not.
That's
correct.
And the current parameters, I think, mm-hmm. that they will share, it would not be inclusive of that, mm-hmm. of the 2029 bond.
Okay.
Right.
2029.
Right.
We probably have to be on in 2028, right?
But no, I have to have that number in my mind. Sorry.
Our bonds fall off in 2029.
Yeah.
$5.4 million.
Right now it's
two.
I thought it was 5.7, but maybe it's 5.4. It's in the fives.
Okay.
So if he's gonna draft one for Thursday, is it gonna be property tax or income tax? That's question number two.
Well, I guess I'll throw out a question number three,
mm-hmm.
because if we're drafting an income tax, I think that's pretty simple. It would,
mm-hmm.
0.5 is the option. If we were to consider a property tax, I mean, it wouldn't have to be 4.5. I mean, that was just a scenario
mm-hmm.
that I drew up just to illustrate impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there would be multiple options you could go for.
4.5 did not bring back reductions.
4.5 did.
There is an option of pets restored.
There's
mm-hmm.
an option of
yeah.
pets restored is what I gave. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
again, you could, this depends on how you wanted to go regarding the cuts or
mm-hmm.
fully restored or partially
mm-hmm.
restored or what is our target. I mean, so I hate to muddy the waters, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could look at that.
But if you go below 4.5, just the general principle, is that the time,
shorter amount of time.
The 4.5 was to illustrate One, having a target of a positive cash balance all the way through the end of the five-year forecast, mm-hmm. which met our cash balance policy of around $6 million at the mm-hmm. end there. Mm-hmm. And two, that was if we were to bring back all of the cuts. Mm-hmm. So again, if you said, well, we're only bringing back half of the cuts, well, that mm-hmm. 4.5 could drop down to a lower number and still meet that target.
4 or something. Mm-hmm.
So, again, sorry to muddy the waters, but I just didn't want to make it, you know, I didn't throw that 4.5 out because that's the only option. That was just illustrated.
Mm-hmm. To get to that, about that $6 million
correct.
Ending balance. Mm-hmm.
Well, if I were to pass levy, or not me personally, if we were to pass levy, I would want everyone to be able to hire for grade. I want TriCal to get back because I want the booster, I mean, I want those cuts restored. I wouldn't want people to raise their taxes and then not solve some of those problems. That's my personal take. So I wouldn't want the cuts restored. I support the income. There's two that haven't said income or property, but you know, I can go either way. Whatever. There's one part of me saying you want a clear, as much clarity as possible, despite all the noise. And I've heard property taxes understood, but then I know there's a lot of people who don't want. It's just, I'm fine either way, I guess.
I could go either way, but again, my vote's going to have determine on what happens on Friday, and I don't know how you.
You can't. Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. I'm very skeptical about mm-hmm. that in the long term.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that hedges against whatever happens on Friday is the tax. Right?
What's that now?
The only thing that hedges, you like theoretically, you can vote for an income tax.
Right. And
option,
then what happens,
and that
on Friday?
No impact on what happens on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like from a fundamental.
Yeah, case. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I get your
but
saying, yeah.
the work you guys have done has been to improve the odds for property
tax. Right.
And just an economic development.
And economic development.
Right,
you know, which
right.
is all centered around property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fundamentally, I don't remember who it was that said it. I mean, the issues with the city is a large driver for the income tax, but I think I'm not promoting one versus the other, but when you talk about the benefits of an income tax, the larger benefit is the growth.
Right.
In the levy cycle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just, again, not saying one way or the other, but I don't want to, you know, the issues with the city is a consideration for an income tax, but I think the larger consideration is the growth of an income tax and how that impacts the levy cycle.
Okay. I mean, we're constantly in this levy cycle, whether it's 15 years or 3 years, you know, and the cost is huge in time and everything because of the property tax. And the state's, you know, mandate to roll that back continuously. If it were allowed to grow as it did in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
With the value of property, then
we wouldn't be
we would not be here, and schools would very rarely be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be some people complaining about their taxes, but, you know, schools would not be on the ballot every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of clarity, I guess if we need to support something for Thursday,
mm-hmm.
I would be in favor of the income option resolution. But that is an interesting sense of thought.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with him.
If we're going to put one on.
I just think that the awkwardness is that when we started this meeting, everyone was saying not November, right? And
right.
I guess what I wouldn't want to do is spend money to draft up a resolution that may not.
And not, and yeah, right. We don't think it's going to pay. I know. I guess that's kind
right.
of my that's kind of my question.
Down,
I don't
no.
know. Yeah, I don't really want to spend time on one if people aren't generally leaning that direction.
I am genuinely leaning that direction.
Right.
But
I think we. Yep. I think we all know that.
Okay.
Yes.
But I also agree. I don't want turning
right.
or whatever drafting something.
I know. Out. I know. I mean, and I understand the idea of just wanting to put this to, you know, like, let's just put this to rest at some point. You know, we have been having lots of conversations. So, I mean, if we can, I'm not sure anybody's going to do a serious change of mind between now and Thursday.
No, I don't think so.
And I know that's hard. I mean, Dick and I, we've been talking about that head-heart stuff. Yeah. Several times. I mean, it's incredibly difficult. And again, I hear you too, Jermaine, and I think you make a lot of valid points.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I've ever felt this kind of environment before in my entire time living in Marysville. I mean, it's just different. And I think that's what worries me, you know, just kind of hearing some of the comments and, I don't know, I'm just concerned that way.
I have struggled to go back and forth. I flip-flop one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And the things that impacted our community, I think, beyond anything that I've ever experienced here, mm-hmm. was the reevaluation.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
And I think that just was devastating for people. Now, hopefully they realized, as they got their tax bills and as they looked at the changes from last year to this year, that your taxes didn't go up 25% if your house value did. Because the biggest part of tax that any property owner pays goes to the schools, and House Bill 920 rolls down the millage. So if your value goes up, the millage that's collected on your property rolls down. So Todd did some examples and found it was 4 to 5%, 4.5%, 3.5%, depending on the property, something in that range. But again, that's something that I don't think the public understood. And even though we tried to get that message out, it didn't resonate. The second factor was just overall inflation. Prices were going up. The more recent news is that inflation is down, prices are down. And so there's some positive news on that front. But, you know, we had a large turnout that was very negative, and I'm still struggling with the short amount of time. I know the levy committee is not funded to the level that they would be able to immediately begin to be able to do things. And I keep wondering, you know, as Todd pointed out, March doesn't really change the experience for the kids for this year. That's pretty well locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and it's... And I'm sitting here now, I'm waiting, okay, you know, there's March out there, and there's November, you know, where would we have a better opportunity? And I just, as much as I want to put something on the ballot in November, it's just, I think people are going to need time to get past the reappraisal. They need time to get more accustomed to hopefully a lower level of inflation, something that's more comfortable. I think the people that organize to support the schools and serve on the levy committee and go out and knock doors and so forth may have to bundle up. But I think we need time to get some enthusiasm. But anyway, I'm still trying to figure out how to get something passed so our kids benefit, because that's the goal. I mean, we're all in this with the kids, mm-hmm. and that's what it comes down to. And I mentioned this yesterday, the state of Ohio, in their funding formula, there's a component for our local community, and they expect our community to step up and to fulfill that responsibility. And we know that we have some of the lowest property taxes, some of the lowest school taxes in Central Ohio, and the capacity that the state has calculated puts us 600th in the state in terms of being, you know, not non-financially supportive of schools. We have the capacity, according to the state, to do more than what we're doing. And I certainly hope that the community comes to recognize that. And our community has always stepped up in the past to take care of kids and make sure they get a great education. That's my goal as a board member, is to make sure the kids have the best opportunity that they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely despise having to make a decision on how we're going to
move forward
on mm-hmm. this. I mean, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. I said at the time when we put up a contingency plan, that was awful. Mm-hmm. That was awful. Mm-hmm. Deciding what we were going to take away from kids was awful. Mm-hmm. And this is equal. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm kind of emotional more because I feel like this is poetic. There's not something in front to vote on. Mm-hmm. We can continue a conversation.
It's a work session.
Kind of a special meeting.
It's a public meeting. We've motioned for sessions.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know whether we have it or not.
I don't know. What do you know? In the special, I know. If there's not something on our agenda.
Up here because we don't have.
You don't have
work sessions, but
my assumption would be that you could.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because I mean, we're here to talk about the levy,
right.
And the motion would be related to
right.
the levy. But I don't know that for a fact.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there?
There's no.
I can pull up board docs. Is there a policy specific to this?
Probably. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
I can. I mean,
what's
if one's fine? I can.
Yes,
motion,
sure, yes, right, if there's a set, yes.
Mm-hmm. I move to place a resolution for a 0.5 income tax levy to be placed on the ballot on November 2023 on the regular meeting agenda.
July 20th.
Dated July 20th, 2023.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, a second by Mr. Keck. And so we can chat about it, and then we'll take a vote.
So, and this is, we're asking your opinion from your discussions with the city. Because
mm-hmm.
With the deal with the city, we're looking for more of a long haul solution to some of the economic development issues.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any discussion that they oppose us putting an income tax on the ballot?
No, not really. I don't think so.
Yeah, I had a last meeting.
Yeah.
And in essence, there was a general consensus that they did income, we did property, mm-hmm. and that they tried to explain the difference, which we already knew that with an earned income, that didn't impact everyone. But the bonus of a property would be that our businesses, from a school district perspective, that our businesses would pick that up. So as well,
right? Because Brad was explaining that an income tax for the city is. If you live here, regardless of where you work, you pay an income tax to the city. For the school district, you have to live in the school district, and then you pay the income tax to the school. Right. So people coming in from other places, we wouldn't get income tax from them compared to the city.
Okay.
And then with the income tax. Like Jermaine said, it would be an earned income tax, so people retirement income would not be taxed, just be income from jobs.
So that excludes also business and corporate income.
Yes, yes. So a property tax is spread across more people. An income tax, the majority of senior. Retired people, we'll just say that, retired people would not be paying in, and businesses would not be paying in on an income tax. The positives of income tax, what we talked about, is that growth, the expectation that it would grow as wages go up. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to place a resolution on our regular meeting July 20th. Any other questions or comments? Roll call.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
I'm going to vote no. And because, not that I don't think we ought to have some discussion, nor that this ought to be on the ballot, but I'm not comfortable casting a positive vote at this point just because I'm still unsure. So.
Okay, right. I'm on the same page. I'm going to vote no, but it's a 3-2, so it's going to pass. So we will have more discussion on Thursday. There will be a resolution on Thursday. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Any other comments? And I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Bond?
Yes. Motion carries.